Hello. Okay, good. Thank you. Good morning. My topic for today is keep your fork, the best is yet to come. I'm thinking of changing this title in light of what happened this week. I would say keep your winter shovel, because the best of winter is yet to come. I'm just kidding about that. The Lord is just teaching us to be more patient, to be more positive on what's going on in North Bay, right? Amen. First of all, I'd like to thank God and you for giving me this opportunity to relay His message for today. I know you prayed for me last year with Steve and some other guy, and I spoke. That was only a speech. But this time, I'll be preaching, not only for you, but for me, by the grace of God. Amen? Let's continue to pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, oh God. Lord, you said in your word that when two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst of us. Thank you for your presence today, oh God. Lord, we pray that you open our spiritual eyes, oh God. Our spiritual ears, oh God. Our spiritual hearts, oh God, to accept your message for today. We pray for the continuous leading of the Holy Spirit, that you use me in your mighty name, in your mighty ways, oh God, to relay your love for every one of us. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one question for you. I know Pastor Mark already preached about the fear of the Lord. That was 2 weeks ago, and that was an awesome message. But my question for you is, what is your number one fear in life? Are you afraid of scorpions, cockroaches? Are you afraid of the height? Are you a claustrophobic, like are you afraid of an enclosed environment? Are you afraid of what will happen to your health or to your future? What's going to happen to your money right now? What's going to happen to your loved ones? What is your number one fear in life? Jerry Seinfeld said that the number one fear in life is public speaking. That's what I'm experiencing right now, public speaking. And number two is death, like dying. So is that correct? Number one is public speaking, and number two is death. So it means we better be off in a casket than speaking in a funeral, right? I'm just only kidding. That's Jerry Seinfeld. There was a lady, according to this very familiar story. Pastor Mark already told this story a few years ago. And this lady was diagnosed with cancer. And she had about 6 months to live. So she called her pastor to arrange her last wishes on what clothes to wear, what favorite scriptures or verses to read, or what songs or hymnals to sing, what should be the color of the casket. And I think some of you will be invited to a funeral like this to speak. Who wants to speak to the funeral like this? Anybody? if you said yes, I know, you'd rather be speaking than be cold dead in a casket, right? Skidding again. But after all this final arrangement of this last visit, the lady told the pastor, "One more thing, pastor, a very, very important thing. I want you to place a fork on my right hand during the burial or the funeral." "A fork?" "Yes, pastor," said the woman. "I remember, pastor, during our church potluck or dinners, after eating this main course and the helpers started clearing the table, somebody leaned to me and said, 'Keep your fork, because the best is yet to come.' You know, those delicious dessert like velvety chocolate or deep dish apple pie, that's the best, right?" So later on, this pastor realized that this woman believed in God, is a Christian, and she believed in life after death. And that's the best that's going to happen to her. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 3 till 22, I'm going to read it. "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." So this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. In verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. So is your faith." So meaning, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, this Christianity is all meaningless. Our gathering here is all meaningless. We have no reason to come here. But in verse 20, he's saying, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." This can be one of the good bases in terms of apologetics. And this is the very reason why I volunteered to preach today. I've been preaching this one for so long now. And this is about my mom. And I can testify that life after death is true. Through my dream. It's about my mom. I have a cool mom. I have a lovely mom. I have a humble mom. Raise your hands if you have a lovely and a humble mom. Ready? Good. Put them all together. That's my mom. In 1987, I was a young engineer at that time, working in a gold mine in the Philippines. I received a news from my brothers and sister way back home. And my home was about 8-hour drive from, you know, my home to the my project, mining project. And my mom was diagnosed with liver cancer. And she had about 3 months to live. Sorry, John. Yeah. And this was my most fearful moment of my life, losing my mom. I'm a mama's boy, and I was so fearful about this gonna happen. So after getting the news, I just kept on visiting her weekly and bring her this pain reliever like morphine, because the effect of the liver cancer so bad to her. It's really an excruciating pain. As the liver grew, the pain keeps on growing. That's hard to see my mom suffering like that. In less than 2 months, the Lord took her away from us. And this is my most depressing or my lowest moment of my life. I thought my world is end already that time. I was so depressed. I was so hopeless. And I just kept on crying and crying for days. Until the time that I got so exhausted in crying. And the Lord let me sleep one night on the third day. And He gave me a dream. And I saw vividly in my dream that my mom rose up from her casket, chasing a bright cross up in the sky. I was so in awe. I was so amazed that life after death is really true. And I praise God for that. When I woke up, I was so overjoyed. I know God comforted me that special way. And I praise God for that. There are so many testimonies about life after death, or that God is alive. But just looking at the creations alone, we could see that God is alive. And I remember I was so bold when I was in high school. I was so bold in sharing Jesus. I was involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, a Billy Graham ministry for the schools at that time. And I shared Jesus to my mom. And she accepted Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. That was a long time ago. But she was still a Catholic then, that time, until her death. And this proves to me that religion is not an answer for being saved. It's only personal relationship with the Lord Jesus alone. Amen. So, what are we going to do today? After celebrating the Easter Sunday, last Sunday, after knowing the resurrection of Christ, what's we going to do today? We're going to do this, be a part of the Great Commission, right? But today, I would like you to keep your part, because the best is yet to come. There are four ways, like these four tines of this fork, to uncover the best potentials in life. Number one, the best is yet to come if we concentrate on God's strength alone. Every one of us may be good at this part or this aspect, may not be so good at the other aspect. But we should be concentrating on the strength, not on the weaknesses. Our human tendency is to use our strength whenever we face problems or challenges. We don't even pray right away. We just pray when our problems comes worse, right? Oh, I need help because I'm already having big trouble. In Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Nehemiah 8:10, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Philippians 4:13, this is my favorite verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we keep on relying on our own strength, guaranteed, we all gonna fail. We have to remember in all the challenges and battles in life, it's not our own battle, but it's the Lord's battles. Amen? Number two, the best is yet to come if we concentrate on priorities. Every one of us are so busy nowadays. But what are your priorities in life? God? Your family? Yourself? Your health? Your body? Your career? Your friends? Your money? Your retirement? What are your priorities in life? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So our number one priority is God alone. But how about priority between family and church? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, and if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? I have a cool family. I'm praying to be a good dad to my family. I love my beautiful wife, Jocelyn. I have a missing son. I don't know where he is right now. He's somewhere in Europe studying there. And I have a sweet daughter, Jesta. Raise your hands if you have a sweet daughter. Put them all together. That's my Jesta. Sorry. So in all the busyness of life, our problem is not the lack of time, but lack of direction. So number one priority is God. Number three, the best is yet to come if we concentrate on the goals or plans or whatever trying to achieve. The woman in the story, her goal is not only of this world, but out of this world, heavenward. Right? My profession as a mining engineer, my job is to design mining project, to make plans like short-term or long-term plans. We have to assess on how much gold or silver or diamonds that you're going to generate in 5 years or 10 years. That's my job. I had the privilege to work in Saudi Arabia. We designed and constructed an underground bunker. That construction, that bunker, actually include hospitals, accommodations, underground, even morgue underground. We even designed a huge oil storage underground because Saudi Arabia is preparing for war. Just in case of war, all they have to do is pump from oil refinery going to underground, and all the Saudi royals are going to live there for 2 or 3 years without going out. We even designed how to camouflage the area so that nobody can notice that. That's an awesome plan. That's an awesome design. But the Lord has a better plan for me in Saudi Arabia. I was one of the pioneers in establishing an underground church in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, you're not allowed to worship there. I almost got imprisoned for bringing the Bibles to Saudi Arabia. And I praise God I'm still alive. Some of my brothers and sisters tell you, caught by the Saudi police, are imprisoned and beheaded. We should be thankful, God, right now we have the freedom to preach like this. Praise God for that. We have to remember that God's ways are way better than our own way. His thoughts are way better than our own thoughts. We should know God's will for us by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Word of God, and taking advices from our pastors and elders and your brothers and sisters. In Psalm chapter 3, verse 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Commit to the Lord wherever you do, and He will establish your plans. That's in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 9, in their hearts, human plans their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So again, our priority is, or our plans and goals should be according to God's plan or the will of God. Number 4, the best is yet to come if we concentrate on your contributions. The first 3 points, the strength, priorities, and goals, those are all purely based on faith alone. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, but it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It says here, by salvation is only by grace alone, by faith alone. It's not coming from ourselves, it's not coming from our own good work. But consider this verse in James chapter 2, verse 14 to 22. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. So what's the correlation between these two verses? The correlation between faith and works. My interpretation is true, by faith alone, we may be saved. But we have to do these good works out of manifestation of our faith to God. We have to show good works out of gratitude to God. So amen for that? Amen. Matthew 25, verse 35 to 36. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." I want to praise God for this church, for different ministries or programs of this church, especially the Monday night services. That's an awesome, unique program, because you're feeding the people physically, at the same time feeding them spiritually. I remember when I was in the Philippines, I resigned from my work as a mining engineer and work full-time in the church as a church planter that time. And I worked there for 4 years, just I was only about 2 years old at that time. And I was also the coordinator for the Food for the Hungry International. So we have to make sure that we had this livelihood program for the poor people in our church, at the same time feeding them, and at the same time sharing the Word of God. That's a humbling experience. And I can feel our two pastors working on this church, our pastors and elders and all the leaders of this church and musicians, they have their own families too. We have to keep on praying for them. So keep your part, because the best is yet to come. Again, by concentrating on God's strength, concentrating on priorities, concentrating on God's plan, and concentrating on your contribution. My brothers and sisters, I really don't know what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you're still anxious. You're still nervous. You're still fearful on what's going to happen to you, your health probably, or to your loved ones. But one thing I do know, there is always hope. And there is only one hope. It's only through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. What's the best for you? What's the best for you and me right now? If you are not yet a Christian, the best for you is to believe in Jesus and accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. That's the best for you. If you're a Christian, what's the best for you? You want to be the best mother? You want to be the best teacher? You want to be the best student or scientist? You want to be the best worker in the church? Best musicians? You want to be have the best wedding comes through? That's good. That's really very good. But do it all, again, do it all for the glory of God alone. That's in the book of Galatians. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But this is the very best. Bring back our main text, John 14, verse 1 to 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And this is the best for every one of us. So keep your word, because the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your message this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, O Lord, that teach us and guide us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've been doing in our lives. And Lord, we have still our own anxieties, fear, O Lord. Lord, we ask that you take away those fears, O God, because you are an almighty God. You're always in control of our lives. And Lord, help us to rely on your own strength, O Lord. Not on our own strength, but in your strength, O God. Help us, O Lord, to prioritize you on whatever we do, O God. Whatever we're planning, O God. Help us, O Lord, to be sensitive to the will of God, to your will, O God. And help us, O God, to the needy, to the poor, especially the friends and families, the victims of the junior hockey team, O God. Comfort us, O God. Comfort them. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.